Hey, Maddie.
Hi, Sonia. So, yes, it's Tuesday again, and it feels like the end of the week already. It's been a heavy week. I think that's always the way on Tuesdays.
Today particularly feels strange that it's Tuesday. I woke up and it was wrapping, and I'm like, it's gotta be at least Wednesday. Like, is it really too? I think I had to look at my calendar a few times. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Here we
are. So much. But we have a good topic for everybody, as always. So let's do introductions. I am Maddie Grant. I'm a culture designer with Propel. And I'm here with Sonia.
Hello, I'm Sonia Lestina. I'm an organizational psychologist, and I'm with Question Pro.
And we have this Work at Life show every Tuesday where we like to pick apart topics related to work and life. And we like to start every show with some data points or a data point to kick it off. So why don't we do that?
And today we have some data points. So I think one of the things that's been so fun for Maddie and I in this process is that every time I think we think to answer, ask a question, the answers we get are quite like head scratchers. Like, really? That's what people think, which makes this more interesting, right? Because if it was a no brainer, then it would just be Maddie and I chatting about obvious stuff. So what we were exploring this week was advice. And, you know, I think I probably say this every week, but man, it's been a year. It's been like a year, 2021, still crazy. Everyone's trying to think about, you know, vaccines are coming. What do we do next? How do we shape our life? Challenging some of the beliefs they had and things they thought they wanted to do personally with their careers. It's really a big time of self-discovery. And so we thought, okay, as people are going through, you know, this process of debating and thinking, you know, do I continue with my path as it was? Do I change something up? We wanted to ask people, who do you have this conversation with? And so we asked a few different questions. The first one was, who are you most likely to turn to for personal advice? So under family was all it was, you know, parents, significant other, kids, really all-encompassing for family. But what was actually what jumped out at us too is if you look at the breakdown of the statistics, almost 3/4 of people turn to family for advice. And I just thought, ooh, no pressure. You know, when you think about it, when somebody comes and it's like, what do you think? And you're like, oh, I'm so out of my league. I have no idea. I've never thought about this. I've never gone through this, but this person relies on me. And so quantifying it was actually quite interesting because we saw how much we do rely on our loved ones within our family to really help us out. And so that I think just the peak was probably even larger than we had expected.
Yeah. And if I could just like dig into this one a little bit, for me, this was really interesting and just a reminder that the way that I think is not necessarily the way that other people think, which is why it's important for us to be doing these surveys. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it's completely the opposite. Like, mm-hmm. I actually have a lot of personal conversations with colleagues, partly because we're checking in with each other and, you know, making sure, and I mean, we see each other, you know, every day online anyway. So if I have something sort of on my mind, mm-hmm. I like to talk to them about it. But, you know, my family, who of course, you know, in regular circumstances, I might talk to more, but they're the ones. So let's say my parents, you know, I'd rather not share the stresses that I have with them, but instead, you know, make sure they're doing okay. And, you know, and it's not really like putting on a happy front if I'm not happy. That's not what I mean. But just day-to-day stuff, I don't want to, well, maybe it's just because my parents will also blow it up into this whole big giant thing. So, but you know what I mean? It's like my reaction was completely the opposite.
Yeah. No, and I totally get that because I'm actually exactly the same. There are many things that I turn to my family for just for kind of level setting or advice. But there are so many big things that I just don't want to worry them about. Like, and it's interesting because if my mom's listening, I feel like I got that from her. Where a lot of times if she had something, she would tell me like once it had passed, she would say, ah, this happened. We're okay. Don't worry. We're resolved. And I'm like, when? Like 3 months ago it happened. So I think in some ways we do, to your point, want to shelter those that we love, those in our family, because we don't want to worry them. We want to figure it out. And even though sometimes they would probably have really good advice, we're thinking, okay, let me go data gather and then maybe just bounce some ideas off them or try something and then let them know in hindsight. But to your point, again, that's not what we're seeing in the data. A lot of people are, you know, really communicating with people in their family. And that actually brings us to the next data point that I found even more surprising is the relationships with the colleagues, the relationships with the manager. So the next question, the first question we asked is, who are you most likely to turn to for personal advice? And we found that by and far it was family. I think colleagues was like 1%. Yeah. And for professional advice, again, it's family. And not, you know, it's 71 to 41, so there is a difference. But it far outweighs even colleagues, managers, mentors. I was joking in my LinkedIn post that like Google beat out colleagues and managers, you know, so you're more likely to Google professional advice and turn to those at work. And so we'll see later in our references or in our useful articles. I actually found an article that was just published, I believe a few days ago in Harvard Business Review, and it was talking about what the pandemic did to the relationships with colleagues and how where before the pandemic, maybe if you're sitting next to someone, you're like, hey, do you want to go grab lunch? Like, there's just something I want to bounce off of you. Because in my mind too, when it comes to professional advice, a lot of times the people you work with know the context a little better. And so right. I'm a talker. A lot of times I try to get advice from different people and I know when I'm explaining things to my partner or my parents, Mateo's too small still to give me professional advice, but you know, they get what I do, but they don't know it as well. They come from different industries. They come from maybe different continents. And so that's where my colleagues, my leaders would really come in. But then of course, it's that interesting one. What if I'm professionally thinking about maybe leaving the company? Then it's that level of comfort to be able to talk to your leader about it openly or to be able to talk to your colleagues about it openly. But to me, I think that here, especially, it's a really huge opportunity for us to think about how do we maybe change this? And Maddie, we'll have to revisit this now as we're, you know, maybe in 6 months, as we're thinking about how the world of work is going to change as people are maybe physically closer together. Or is, I actually also saw an article by Josh Burson where he was saying that the economy and the job market is like red hot and there are a lot more people already looking for jobs. So I'm wondering what those conversations will look like again in the coming months. Are people going to loosen up a little bit, ask people professionally, or I don't know, maybe like we need to come up with some like therapy training or something for family members globally because they got a big job. they're really being leaned on, you know, for many different aspects of advice by their different family members.
I mean, I do think what's interesting about family is they do have that external perspective. Like maybe if they don't know all the details,
yeah,
they can look at the whatever the situation is, you know, from an external viewpoint and yeah, help you think through things in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like I know for a lot of times for me when I'm making decisions, it's a little bit about risk taking. And it's my threshold for to take that risk. And this probably happens a lot if I'm changing jobs to say, okay, if I'm somewhere, I already know the dynamics, I know the culture, I know my colleagues. And I've always been very lucky to work in really good workplaces. But when an opportunity comes up, it's saying, okay, can we handle this? Does this make sense? Whether it's moving continents, whether it's moving organization, that's where sometimes your significant other especially can say, yes, you know, I feel comfortable with this, I think we'll be fine. But again, very, very interesting dynamics. Do you want to recap what we're talking about and then we'll go to our last data point?
Yeah, sure. So today's data points are related to advice. So where we get, where we turn to for personal and professional advice. And in both cases, family has come out on top, which I think is quite surprising. That, yeah, for both personal and professional, it seems to be family, and here it's friends as well, that people turn to, and Google.
And Google.
Always Google.
Yeah, that's, 14%, like, is most likely to turn to for professional advice. I mean, Google's gotten pretty good with the algorithm, but that's quite a bit. All right. And then the last question that we asked for this week was about mentoring programs. And I think to me that this, I guess looking at the breakdown, maybe I wish every company had it, but maybe it's encouraging that almost half of organizations do. So we're seeing value in it. I think that there's still a big opportunity, but it was almost interestingly, it's a little more towards yes, a little less towards no. The fact that almost 20% of people are not sure definitely has something to do with maybe internal marketing in the organization, because either those individuals could have said, okay, yes, the organization does have it and I have no clue, or it doesn't. We don't know because they're not sure. But that's also a big, pretty big percentage where I think organizations can maybe be intentional and communicate whether such programs do exist. So it was kind of an interesting pie chart and how the results shook out.
Yeah, I think this is actually very positive because there's the value of mentoring is proven. And I think for organizations that do have mentoring programs, it can really help with retention. You know, if the mentor is helping an individual mm-hmm. employee sort of know how to move up the chain, so to speak, and presumably is also a source for good professional advice. I mean, that's sort of the point of mentoring, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, this is pretty positive in my mind.
Yeah.
One thing
I couldn't imagine.
Sorry, one thing that's interesting that I just noticed completely anecdotally is there's a lot more discussion of accountability partners. So that's not necessarily mentoring with somebody who's more senior than you, or you're the mentor with somebody more junior than you. Because for those of us who are in our 40s, for example, we can be both mentees and mentors, which is a whole nother interesting topic for another day. but the idea of accountability partners is just a peer that you check in with, on a regular basis to see if you've achieved your goals, whatever those might be. And they might be completely personal goals, like, you know, exercising twice a week or whatever. But of course, they could also be professional yeah. goals. And I would think an accountability partner is also someone that you could get advice from.
Yeah, I think you're right, because even if we look back at the previous chart, there were 11% of people who said they're most likely to turn to a mentor for professional advice. And again, this is not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean you're only turning to one of these categories, but it's the person that's most likely. And so as we were talking about previous, the pie chart, one thing that I was thinking about is if somebody doesn't have a mentor inside their organization, how likely are they to go out and proactively seek one? I think it would be great, but I have a feeling it's probably not happening as much as maybe it could be or as how valuable it would be. So to me, this is a really interesting thing. And maybe we can explore a little more. We'll see regarding the topics for next week's. But when it comes to retention and when it comes to keeping your people and to your point, really growing inside the organization, I've seen data many times that shows when somebody is looking for a new opportunity, they're much more likely to look outside of the organization than within the organization. It can depend on your organizational size. Sometimes there's not as much opportunity for movement, but there are a lot more organizations, I think, investing in talent marketplaces where you can have that internal mobility. But I think that there's still probably many organizations in the middle where they're big enough where we can be internal mobility, but maybe not so big to create a really robust technology solution or invest in one. And that's where mentors could really help, because they can keep those connections. And to your point, they can help with professional development, they can help with personal development, but they can help with so many things within the organization that would keep some of those best people, not only from leaving, but actually really productive, really engaged, really happy in their roles. So it'll be interesting to see how, again, how this evolves and the role that it actually has in organizations, especially as, again, we're exploring hybrid working models and those things are changing.
Yeah.
The kinds of impact that these individuals can have.
Well, and I'm especially interested in the idea that it's separate from performance management, right? It's not like, you know, am I promotable based on the work I've done or whatever? It's actually much more fluid and organic and just building relationships internally within the organization that benefit the whole company, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you, this is not an area that I'm as familiar with. I don't know if you are, but what kind of training mentors tend to get in organizations? Like, how do you, because as we're talking, I'm getting really excited at the idea of the impact that they can have. And then I'm, you know, taking a step back and thinking, well, how are they, you know, are there some better, I know there are, but like, do you know what are some best practices and how they're brought up to speed? Or how do you handle if you're somebody's mentor? What is the information that you share with them? What should you know about the organization to be an effective mentor? Do you have much experience with that, with how that tends to work with that organization?
I actually don't. And I think that's what's interesting about this whole topic is unless it's a big organization that has, you know, a huge training department that really looks at all these kinds of things, I think a lot of mentors just learn from literally from Google or from having had a good mentor themselves, you know, knowing what a good mentor can do for you personally could very easily, and I'm sure it does, incentivize you to want to pay it forward and be a mentor for somebody else, you know? So it feels like the people who are really good at it had good mentors themselves.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
I don't think there's any, I mean, there might be just that I don't know of, but there doesn't seem to be some sort of standard, you know, mentor training.
Yeah.
Kind of resources that everybody is familiar with.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting opportunity. And again, we'll see how it evolves. But in my mind, I'm also going back to all of our conversations that we had around burnout and mental well-being and creating a place in organizations where people feel comfortable sharing that. And I'm just thinking of, you know, putting yourself in the shoes of somebody who's a mentor, maybe mentor to various individuals, and somebody coming to you and saying, I'm really stressed out, I don't know what to do. Like, there's probably an opportunity to coach mentors in an even more effective way how to deal with some of these situations. Because I could imagine somebody, if you haven't had much, you know, formal training or support, just kind of being blindsided and saying, like, what's the best thing to say? Now, of course, we don't expect to turn these individuals into therapists or somebody really trained to be able to handle different situations. But I think the more effective the programs are, the greater level of complexity of issues we might see. And so how do you most effectively learn to not necessarily just be left to your own devices because somebody was a good mentor to you and you're saying, okay, you know, I've been lucky in my life that I've received some really, really good advice. And at this point, some of it is pretty dated. Like, even when I think of it, I'm like, oh, I don't know if that would work anymore in how I weigh different options. Or, you know, I was like, oh, where do I find new information? Like, that was brilliant at the time. What would it be now? So we'll have to look into that. But I think for organizations, it sounds like there's an opportunity to really beef that up.
Yeah, what's interesting, actually, I just had a thought that I work with a lot of associations, which are membership organizations, and many of them have mentoring programs. But those mentoring programs, the ones that I've seen, are not about training and resources. They're actually purely about matching mentors with mentees. Mm. So even then, you know, it's just dependent on the association, basically, or the individuals to kind of figure out the right path. So it definitely seems like an opportunity to work on for organizations.
Yeah. And so many of our past, like, I mean, maybe that's what's interesting to are unique to us, interesting to us. But then how do you effectively translate that to someone else? Maybe it's just sharing the story, giving them things to consider. But then they also, you know, in addition to that, find their own way. But fascinating topic. We are at time, as all, like, whenever we get in our groove, it seems like the clock ticks. Here are just a couple of resources that Maddie and I put together, one about strong mentoring programs, one about relationships at work. So this will be in our videos for anybody to revisit, but really interesting and I hope helpful articles. So thank you everybody for joining us.
and as a